It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we talk about a new study that says positive or negative body image can affect both mental and physical health.
First, people around the country are reacting after the largest mass shooting in U.S. history at a gay nightclub called Pulse in Orlando, Florida.
The co-founder of the nightclub said in a Washington Post interview that the nightclub was named in honor of her brother who died of AIDS at the height of the epidemic. The club was a focal point of the LGBT community in Orlando.
President Obama made a statement after the shooting yesterday and highlighted the significance of where the shooting took place.
The shooter targeted a nightclub where people came together to be with friends, to dance and to sing and to live. The place where they were attacked is more than a nightclub. It is a place of solidarity and empowerment where people have come together to raise awareness, to speak their minds, and to advocate for their civil rights.
Today, we want to hear from you on safe spaces for the LGBT community. What spaces in Wisconsin do you consider supportive and safe for the queer community? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Maybe you're somewhere that you think needs a better safe space. Again, call 800-642-1234.
Washington Post Civilities columnist Stephen Petro joins us now. He wrote a piece about what the shooting means for safe spaces for the LGBT community, and it's posted on the Central Time Facebook page. Stephen, welcome to Central Time.
Nice to be with you.
You've written that violence or the threat of violence has been embedded in the LGBT community's consciousness for a long time. Can you describe what you mean by that?
You know, I'll talk a little bit about it personally, and then I'll broaden it from there. But when this happened in Orlando yesterday, it really took me back to 1978. I just graduated from college. I was living in Durham, North Carolina, and the news came that Harvey Milk had been assassinated. For those who don't remember, Harvey Milk was the gay civil rights leader, really the gay civil rights leader, and he was taken out by a colleague who had been on the Board of Supervisors because of his openness about his sexual orientation. And I think for a generation such as mine, that has always stayed in the back of our minds. There was a time about 10 years later, I was in San Francisco with a new boyfriend, and I was attacked. He was attacked because we were holding hands. So our experience is actually not that uncommon to many then, and unfortunately to many today. I interviewed a 24-year-old genderqueer activist in New York for my column, and he said, you know, he just expects that there could be violence on any street corner, really in just about any public place. But what shocked him about what happened at the Pulse Dance Club was the fact that this was really a sacred space to the LGBT community, that it was a private space, and so this violation almost goes deeper than many of the others that we have grown accustomed to, and brought it home in a much more personal way when folks who are simply going out to dance and to sing and to have a good time, you know, wind up not seeing the sunrise because someone has come in and shot them with an assault rifle.
Is that new, that aspect of it, that this wasn't something that happened on the sidewalk in a more public place? This was a place that felt like it was an extension of the community in a way.
You know, it's new to these times. We have not seen something like that in recent years. Go back to the 1970s, and really one of the worst attacks on gay people was at a bar in New Orleans in 1973 when someone incinerated that bar and 32 gay men died. And after that, there were a number of similar attacks in other bars. But then this type of attack really did not happen for decades. And I'm starting to think that it is tied to the rate of progress that we're seeing. And almost one of those, you know, two steps forward, one step backward, because the 70s and the early 80s were times also of great progress and struggle. Think back to Anita Bryant. And now we've seen so much progress that this backlash, whether it's what happened in Orlando or the restroom bills in places like Mississippi and North Carolina, or the so-called Religious Freedom Acts. You know, all of that is part of the backlash, I think, to the forward steps that we have been realizing.
Right. The Supreme Court recently legalized same-sex marriage, and as you said, it seemed as though it hadn't happened for a couple of decades. So does that sort of thing, do you think, make people, surprise people at this juncture, thinking maybe we had turned a corner?
You know, Veronica, it's really such a good question, because after the Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriage in all 50 states last June, I was very vigilant, as were some other members of the LGBT community, in saying it's not over, and we do not have federal protections for jobs or for public accommodations. There's still so much that is yet to be done, and the focus and the attention that was on marriage equality was great, and that was a really big win. I got married as a result, but there's really great deal left to be done in terms of both acceptance, which there we're talking about sort of social mores and manners, as well as basic equality. You know, the line that I hear so often is, you can get married on Sunday, but you can be fired from your job simply because you're gay on Monday. That's the dichotomy that we're living in, and I guess now we'll add into that, and on Saturday night you could be gunned down in a bar.
And the president just talked about this in a speech with remarks that were prescient given what happened. He talked about the threat of violence that still exists for LGBT people around the world. Do you think that this will change anything in the way that we think about what it is and isn't safe, and what work still needs to be done?
Well, the president's remarks were at the LGBT reception that he has held annually at the White House. That was last Thursday. And they really were clairvoyant in a very sad way, and he is right to speak of the really unspeakable violence that happens around the world, and now we have matched that here at home. If I see any silver thread in this, and it is that the LGBT community has come together before in times of great adversity, thinking here of the AIDS crisis, and from my reporting and from what I'm seeing on social media, that is happening right now. And I'll just also give you a specific example, Veronica. I interviewed Jim Obergefell, who is the named plaintiff, the lead plaintiff in last year's Supreme Court case. And he's been a very prominent activist since then. And after these deaths were reported yesterday morning, I talked with him on the phone, and it really wound up being an emotional conversation. At the end, I asked him if he was afraid personally, and he said that he was. But then he also said that he tries not to think about it that way, and quote, I can't let that paralyze me or stop me from my advocacy work. I can't let that stop me from fighting for others. And I think in many ways his sentiments are being echoed by many other members of this community and many of our allies. You know, we're definitely part of a larger community here. And if anything, I hope this is a wake-up call to the kinds of homophobia that still exists, the kinds of transphobia. I understand we don't understand much about the shooter's motivation, but we do know that there really is rampant homophobia and transphobia in this country, and those are the entities that need to be fought against.
Stephen, what do you hope happens next? You were getting at it a little bit there. This story has so much involved in it. There's gun control issues. There's domestic terror issues. There's the LGBT community. And it's hard to say which one will end up having the most resonance as we go forward. But what do you hope that people talk about and think about?
Well, one of the things that I do hope that we talk about are those people who lost their lives at the Pulse Club. You know, we're just beginning to get all of the names. But it's very important to remember them, to know them, so that they did not die in vain. And in previous times, we focused so much attention and media attention on the perpetrators, and they are the ones who become center stage. And that is happening here, too. You know, there's a lot of news story and news coverage about the shooter, his father, all of these different elements. But we need to remember those who perished. They're important to our collective consciousness and to our community. Coming out of this, we also, I think we see a very sad and powerful lesson that acceptance is still far off. And GLAAD did a study, a repeat study this spring, and showed that 30% of Americans still have issues about equal acceptance for LGBT people. It's better, but there's really much more to be done. So if there was complacency that was setting in the post-Supreme Court ruling era past year, I think that it's time to understand that that's really, we need to go deeper than that, and there is more work to be done to bring us to full equality.
Now, you took the long view in your piece. You looked back at the assassination of Harvey Milk. With that in mind, the scope of history, the sweep of the advance of LGBT rights and civil liberties, what do you want to say to the LGBT community going forward?
What do I want to say, did you say?
Right. What would your message be today?
Well, my message would be pretty much what it would have been back in 1978, when Harvey Milk was assassinated, which is that do not fight hate with hate. Fight hate with love, because love wins in the end. And I know so many friends are so angry, as am I, by what has happened in Orlando and by what has happened in North Carolina and elsewhere. But anger only gets you so far. And I think that by taking the high road, continuing to push, to advocate, and to show how we're not equal, how we're not accepted, that is the way forward. But I certainly understand, the impulse now, almost the need now, to express that anger, and I am seeing it overflow on Facebook, because what did happen in Orlando points out that any of us really could have been there, whether it's that bar or another bar, or an LGBT center on college campus or high school. We're all vulnerable in ways that we really put out of our minds. And it's important to understand that we don't live in that country yet.
Stephen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Veronica.
That was Stephen Petro. He's the civilities columnist for The Washington Post. His recent piece about safe spaces for the LGBT community is posted on the Central Time Facebook page.
Next, we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. How are you affected by the shootings in Orlando? If you're a member of the LGBT community or an ally, tell us what you consider a safe space in Wisconsin. Are there places or communities you recommend being a part of? And do you think a tragedy like Orlando is a response to the rapid advance of gay rights? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. Stay with us here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Coming up a little later in the hour, we'll talk more about the mass shooting in Orlando with Wisconsin Congressman Mark Pocan.
Right now, we want to hear from you and how you're responding to the shooting in Orlando, how that impacted, how you feel about maybe safe spaces for the LGBT community. Call us at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. If you're a member of that community or an ally here in Wisconsin, tell us what you consider a safe space and where you'd like the national discussion to go next as we process this as a country. You can call us at 800-642-1234. And Stephen Starkey is with us right now, Executive Director of Outreach, South Central Wisconsin's LGBT Community Center. And Stephen, thank you for being with us right now. What was your first response when you heard about this shooting in Orlando?
Well, when I saw the news on TV, I wept. It was just so sad to see, the number of people that had died, the number of people that were injured, and how the community was trying to get the medical attention to people to do the blood drive. The tragedy was just unbelievable. So that was my first response.
And as we heard from Stephen Petro from The Washington Post just a moment ago, he was saying that this makes things feel less safe, that it already there's a history there of possibly there being violence on a street, in a place of worship, and now in a place that's a community hub, really. How does that affect the sense of safety?
There has been a long history of gay bashing, of gay murders, of harassment for the LGBT community, and I think that this just underscores that we are still not safe in the United States. There are still a lot of homophobic groups and hate groups. And people who would wish to do us harm, and so it's very sad that 30 or 40 years after the gay movement started, the LGBT movement started, we still have a long way to go.
And what do you hope the conversation, how do you hope that evolves? I mean, so we're only a day past this terrible tragedy, but what would you like to see be the focal point going forward?
Well, I think that we need to think about safety. When we realized that there was an attack on a gay nightclub that was specifically targeting LGBT people, and also it was discovered that there was a truckload full of weapons that was at the Gay Pride march in L.A., that it seems that, forces are mobilizing against us, maybe in a way that hasn't happened for a long time, and that we need to be more vigilant and more safety conscious kind of do some planning in the future. I think we need to continue to do the things that the LGBT movement has been doing for over the years in terms of working on our political and legal rights, but also continuing to work to change society's view of LGBT people.
And in terms of the LGBT community and how it responds together, are you seeing this as a unifying sort of event, and a horrible event, but one that will bring people together and have people, maybe new coalitions of people working together?
Yes, we are seeing that happening in Madison already. I understand there's actually three vigils being held tonight. There's one that we're promoting that's at the Capitol building at 7 p.m., a candlelight vigil. I think there's also a religious service that's being held in town, and so people are coming together, I think, to share their grief and kind of try to understand this tragedy, but also figure out how to move forward.
And looking at support from the outside, we're here in Wisconsin, and this is, of course, a national event that people are responding nationally to. If people want to be allies outside of the Orlando community, what can people do to help?
Well, I know that there was a blood drive that was held in Orlando. And many gay men are not allowed to donate blood, so that's one thing that we can't do. But allies can certainly donate blood to make sure that there's enough blood, for the victims. That's one thing that people can do. Coming together, sharing kind of hope and strength, and continuing to do political activism is also important.
Let's take a caller now. We have Carol on the line from Clear Lake. Carol, thank you for joining us.
Sure. I just wanted to say that every time one of these shootings happens, I'm out of breath. it's just so horrendous. I really thought when 20 babies were murdered, something would happen. And I've been listening to an awful lot of the conversation over the last couple of days. And what's troubling to me is they seem to be, a lot of the conversation has to do with Islam. And this is really an act of homophobia. And I think what this, when this guy made that 911 call, I think he wanted to raise the rhetoric, is what I think he wanted to do. And I think people got to quit putting this on Islam. You know, basically, that's all I really wanted to say.
Great. Thank you, Carol, for the call. And Stephen, Carol making the point that this is homophobia we're dealing with here, and that's where she wants the focus to be. What do you say to that?
I agree. I don't think there's been any conclusive report that this was related to any, ISIS-related or from international perspective. And I don't think that focusing on the fact that this person was Muslim it really contributes to anything. What I'm really concerned with is that I think that assault rifles do not need to be on the street. People do need guns for protection or guns to hunt with, but an assault rifle is a military weapon that is made to kill large numbers of people in a very short amount of time, and it has really should not be available to the general public, in my view.
And Stephen, just very briefly as we wrap up, our last guest, Stephen Petro, was saying that when you do see these big advances in LGBT rights, like the legalization of same-sex marriage by the Supreme Court last year, that he says you do see this hateful response sometimes bringing back after there is big progress. Do you see that as part of what's happening here?
I agree with that. We've seen when there LGBT issues have been in the news that hate crimes spike. When there's been advances in political in politics or legal bills for the LGBT community, it seems that there is a backlash. And so I think that this is an example of that.
Stephen, thank you so much for being with us today.
You're very welcome.
That was Stephen Starkey, Executive Director of Outreach, South Central Wisconsin's LGBT Community Center. You can hear more about this issue tomorrow on The Joy Cardine Show. You're listening to Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.